Chapter 27. We Need More Leaders. Johnny Bravo, the A-10 pilot who believed that his greatest asset was the empathy he had for the men on the ground, learned what it really takes to be a leader a few years after his experience in Afghanistan. It was after he landed his plane following a training mission in the Nevada desert. His crew chief, the airman assigned to look after his aircraft, came over to greet him and help him out of his jet. On that day, the crew chief was off his game and distracted, and Johnny Bravo snapped at him. He expects the people around him to be at their best so he can be at his best and support those on the ground. His crew chief apologized. He was tired because he didn't get enough sleep, he explained. He was going to night school, and he and his wife had a new baby who kept them up at night. And it was at that moment that Johnny Bravo realized that empathy is not something we give to the nameless, faceless people we aim to serve. Empathy is not something we offer to our customers or our employees from 9 to 5. Empathy is, as Johnny Bravo explains, a second-by-second, minute-by-minute service that we owe to everyone if we want to call ourselves a leader. Leadership is not a license to do less. It is a responsibility to do more. And that's the trouble. Leadership takes work. It takes time and energy. The effects are not always easily measured, and they are not always immediate. Leadership is always a commitment to human beings. People like me write these polemics with the hope that we can somehow influence some change for the greater good, which includes the good of our society's commercial interests. And though many of you who hear these books and articles may even agree with them, leaders of organizations are not clamoring to change the status quo. The data prove that when we lead our organizations, like Charlie Kim, Bob Chapman, Jim Sinegal, Captain David Marquet, or Representatives Robert Goodlatte and Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, the tangible, measurable benefits are actually greater than the norm. Yet the theories espoused by the likes of Milton Friedman and pioneered by executives like Jack Welch continue to be the gospel. Many leaders today prefer Jack Welch's approach to running a business over Jim Sinegal's theory on how to lead people simply because it offers more of a thrill. Sinegal's style may not come with a roller coaster, but it is stable and it sets up the company to succeed in a more steady way. In contrast, Welch's style is much more like gambling. Ups and downs, wins and losses, thrilling, exciting, bright lights, high intensity, Vegas. If you have enough money to keep playing through the lows, then you could hit the jackpot. But if you can't afford to play for long, if you're not sure you can time your exit just right, or if you are looking for something sustainable and stable, then you would probably prefer to invest in a company with a strong circle of safety. Having a few roller coaster companies in an economy is fine and good, but when there are a high number of leaders who put the thrill of a dopamine hit over the hard work of looking after people, the entire economy becomes unbalanced. Everything about being a leader is like being a parent. It's about committing to the well-being of those in our care and having a willingness to make sacrifices to see their interests advanced so they may carry our banner long after we are gone. Sir Isaac Newton, the 17th century English physicist, offered as his second law of motion the formula F equals ma, force equals mass times acceleration. When the mass we aim to move is great, we must apply more force. If we wish to change the direction of a large company or solve a large problem, we need to apply a huge force. And this is often what we do. We have a big repositioning or a big reorg. The trouble with applying large force to anything, however, is it rattles us. We fear it may cause more harm than good. It undermines the circle of safety. However, there is another variable that we often neglect, the A, for acceleration. Who says the change has to be sudden or instantaneous? Bob Chapman, Charlie Kim, Captain David Marquet, and others did not march in with new theories and start dismantling their organizations. They tinkered. They applied small changes. They experimented. Some of their experiments worked, some didn't. And in time, momentum built up, the changes added up, and the organizations and the people within them were transformed. Leadership, true leadership, is not the bastion of those who sit at the top. It is the responsibility of anyone who belongs to the group. Though those with formal rank may have authority to work at greater scale, each of us has a responsibility to keep the circle of safety strong. We must all start today to do little things for the good of others, one day at a time. Let us all be the leaders we wish we had. If this book inspired you, please pass it on to someone you want to inspire.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Leaders Eat Last: Why Some Teams Pull Together and Others Don't, by Simon Sinek. Copyright 2013 by Simon Sinek. Performed by the author. Directed by Arthur Morey. Performance copyright 2013 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with Portfolio, a member of Penguin Group, USA, LLC.